has joined.
Shavua Tov.
Tov.
I hope you're well. I hope you're having a beautiful day.
Yes, and how about you? I hope it's the same to you.
Gabriella.
Has joined.
Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. I'm well.
Good.
Let us begin. Please join me with the Ana Bekoach. Ana Bekoach, Gedulat Shemincha, Tati Serura, Aleph Bet Gimel, Yutaf Sadi, Kabel Rinat. Amcha sagbeinu tacharenu no ra. Ufreshayan sentet nun. Na gibor dorshe yehudha gevavat shamrei. Nun gimudalit avshin.
Has joined.
Barachim tacharim, rachamei sitkatha, tamid gamlem. Betet resh, saditat gimel. Pasim kadosh, berov tucha, nael adatah. Bet kufet, tet nunayan. Yachid geye. Lamcha p'nei zochrei kiddushatah. Yud gimel amet, e zayin ku. Shavateinu kabel, ushma tziakateinu, yodeya talubo. Shin kufav, tzadi yudtah. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rahum V'chanun, Er Apayim V'rav Chesed Emet. No tehesed la lafim, no sea one wafesha, bachata'a v'nake. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing the tool from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, from Parashat Yitro. It's known as Pasuk 29, and we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kutcha Brichu Ishbe Bit Hilu Urchimud Hilu Hilu Urchimu Leachta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe The Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Konenei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Konenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar, Bika Matar, Anenan de Kucha, Perichu, Koma de Aved, Leela with Tata, Kola Ihu, Bishot the Ovada, Bishot, Beleela, Mila Bialma, Divae Barnash. Ledachya leya mineya ulan haga beya kalana dehakulu ovada bichot inun wikola istri bi alma. The energy of the year 5781 the year that's coming, is the year of redemption. But the redemption will happen only if we are ready. When we read the verse from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 21, we're in the process of building that vessel so that we will be ready. There's much more to do than just reading the verse, but it's a beginning. Ugam mehem ayeka lekohanim lalivim amar Hashem. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. We study one verse from the Tanakh that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael undati v'shatam kakav v'lo yirgaz. Old willow Yosifu, Bene Avla Anoto, Ka Asher Barishona. The Sadiqim that chose to leave this day Rabbi Yisachar Becha Lefer of Nadvorna, Rabbi Yitzhak Yeshaya Halberstam, Rabbi Moshe Friedman, Rabbi Shraga Feibel Mendlowitz, Rabbi Shalom Echenstein of Zerdakovsk, and those Sadiqim who chose to leave the fourth day of Elul, which begins at sundown Sunday night. Rabbi Meir Simcha HaKohen of Dvinsk, Rabbi Arye Lev Tumim, Rabbi Eliyahu Kramer, and Rabbi Yechiel Fischel Eisenbach. In the eighth verse of the Anabakoa, we say in a whisper. Last night, we read one meditation. And now we are going to read another meditation that is dealing with the same subject we've been studying, this one was actually should have been read for the third day of Elul. I'm sorry, the one for Shabbat was the second day of Elul. That's what we will be reading, two of them. They're long. We're talking about becoming a mensch.
Has joined.
And first becoming a mensch prior to becoming a Sadiq. trying to become, prior to becoming holy. And where there is no man, strive to be a man. The sages teach about this idea of becoming a man where there is no man. An art school prints it. A person should say, when will my actions reach the spiritual level of my ancestors? Rabbi Bunan of Pishcha questioned this premise. Can one actually reach this exalted level? Rather, he explained, one must attempt to at least touch the level his ancestors attained. The word yagia, reach, is rendered here as yiga, meaning to touch. One will grow by attempting to barely touch the level of those who came before him, for by doing so, he will emotionally stretch himself to his limits. On the verse, Ish al diglo ve'ad ad ah atat lebeit av tam. Each person to his flag with signs for the house of their ancestors. The Tzafat Emet writes, every individual must ask himself, when will my deeds reach the level of those of my ancestors? Our goal should be that our ancestors' achievements will act as a signpost for our own action. And I am adding, in the Orthodox tradition, in the morning prayer, we say the verse from the Tanakh, from Tehillim chapter 5, verse 8, and it's parsed in the following way. That's one level, the level of Abraham. And that's the level of Yitzhak. And that's the level of Yaakov. And we say this verse on entry into the synagogue. And as we say it, the meditation is to connect to the three forefathers so that our actions will build upon theirs. As taught by the Ari, the Kavanah is that when saying line one, think that you have reached the level of Abraham. When saying line two, think that you have reached the level of Yitzhak. When saying line three, think that you have reached the level of Yaakov. Then contemplate that now that you have reached the level of the forefathers, it is your responsibility to grow to a higher level. The Talmud teaches that we are higher than the forefathers because even though they did all of the 613 mitzvot, they did not have the requirements of the Torah, and it is human nature to resist anyone's order to do something, even and in my opinion, especially when it is Hashem doing the ordering. Contemplate, is it possible to reach a spiritual level higher than the forefathers? Also, why did Hashem create humankind to resist orders? Now we have reached the meditation for today. One should never settle for mediocrity in spiritual matters. According to the Ponozer Rav, this is the key to solving a puzzling prophecy. Hine yamim ba'im ne'um Adonai Hashem Behishlachti Ra'av Be'eret Lo Ra'av Lalechet Belo Tzama Lamayim Ki'im Lishma Lishma et Divrei Hashem. Behold, days are coming, says Hashem, and I will send famine in the land, not famine for bread, nor thirst for water, but rather hunger to hear the word of Hashem. This does not seem like a terrible tragedy at all. If anything, it seems to portend a spiritual awakening. The Rav explained, a hungry person is so desperate for food that he will eat anything, even unappetizing food. And if he is thirsty, even filthy water will seem refreshing. The prophet teaches that the unbearable lack of food will be so oppressive at that time that people will settle for a diluted version of Torah and synthetic religious experiences. Rather than experiencing the full vibrancy of Torah, they will settle for poor imitations of the real thing. Our Mishnah is teaching us not to be satisfied with any spiritual status that is less than the best we can achieve. Rabbi Joseph Telushkin's suggestions at this point are so myriad, it is so worth your while to read this lengthy discussion. 13 Ways to Become a Good Person, Jewish Pointers on Living a Good and Ethical Life, by Joseph Telushkin. The Torah holds a skeptical view of human nature. Disappointed by humankind's propensity for violence and dishonesty, God laments, the tendency of man's heart is towards evil from his youth. In other words, we are born morally neutral, with strong inclinations toward evil. In Jewish teachings, this evil inclination is not considered all bad. The rabbis of the Talmud taught that a good person should not endeavor to fully eradicate the Yetzer Hara, or the evil inclination. The counterbalance to the Yetzer Tov, the inclination for good, for within it resides the aggressive instincts that prompt creativity and achievement. Without the Yetzer Hara, the rabbis speculated, we would not engage in business. We would not build homes. We would not marry. Nor would we have children. So, for example, our motives for engaging in sexual relations might emanate from lust, the Yetzer Hara, no less than love, the Yetzer Tov. But out of such mixed motives, something very pure, a new life, emerges. From Judaism's perspective, therefore, greatness of character is not measured by our lack of an evil inclination, but by our success in controlling it. The rabbis of the Talmud also taught that the greater the scholar, the greater his evil inclination. In other words, someone who possesses pronounced capabilities will find himself presented with a greater number of illicit opportunities around which he will have to exert considerable self-control. For example, it is a greater moral achievement for a person who has built up his business from scratch to remain scrupulously honest in his dealings than for one who has always been employed by another, for the latter has less to gain from financial chicanery. Similarly, it is a greater act of character for a person of good looks and a sensual disposition not to lead a promiscuous life than for one who does not possess this disposition and is afforded few such opportunities. It is important for us to be aware of our own evil inclinations so we may channel them for good. For example, if we know we have a strong need to be admired, we might strive to become well known for doing good deeds. Some people deride philanthropists who donate large sums of money to a university or a hospital building campaign and insist that a building be named for them. But such behavior may demonstrate a proper amalgamation of both good and evil inclinations. The person's yetzer tov prompts her to contribute to a good cause, and she has channeled her yetzer hara's desire for a flame into an activity that is worthy of it. Developing goodness, Judaism regards improving character as the goal of life. As the Midrash teaches, the Torah's mitzvot were not given to humankind for any purpose other than to refine people. These are based on the Jewish teachings. Here are 13 paths toward becoming a person of goodness. Do good deeds often. We become good people not by thinking good thoughts, but by doing good deeds again and again, until they become part of our nature. Maimonides teaches that it is better to give needy recipients one gold coin on 1,000 different occasions than to give someone 1,000 gold coins all at the same time. For if he opens up his hand again and again 1,000 times, the trait of giving becomes part of him. 2, cultivate the friendship of people who are both good and wise. In his Laws of Character Development, Maimonides says, it's in the nature of human beings to be influenced in their opinions and actions by their friends and neighbors. Therefore, a person should strive to become friendly with righteous people and to stay in the presence of those who are wise, so that one will learn from their actions. Experiencing friendships like these and spending time among kind people will inspire us to want to become better. If, for example, we spend time in a household where the family members speak to each other in a consistently loving manner, it is likely that we, at least while we are with these people, will also speak in a calmer, more loving way. The same wisdom applies when we seek out a new home. Whereas most of us choose a home based on its beauty from a Jewish perspective, it is more important to ascertain the character of the people who live in the neighborhood, the environment in which we and our children will live, and the people with whom we will associate. The better their characters, the more likely we and our children will grow in goodness. 3. Avoid people with bad character and unkind dispositions. The Book of Psalms states, fortunate is the person who doesn't follow the advice of the wicked, who doesn't associate with sinful people, and who doesn't spend time among scoffers. People with bad characters can easily influence us to become like them. The contagious quality of bad character helps explain the phenomena of children from good homes who engage in self-destructive and/or criminal behavior. Frequently, they have been swayed by bad companions who exert a stronger influence. 4. Live up to the reputation to which you aspire. Judaism places great value on maintaining a good name. Even at the time when men dominated the household, the rabbis ruled that if a man forbade his wife from helping her neighbors, she could have a court compel him to grant her a divorce. Otherwise, a woman would acquire a bad name among her neighbors. My grandfather, Rabbi Nissen Telushkin, used to advise people, don't be so concerned with being humble that you try to hide from others all knowledge of the good you do. It is good to be known as something of a tzaddik, a righteous person. If nothing else, you'll be afraid to do something bad because you'll fear that it will become known and will harm your good name. In short, if you're proud to have a good name, you will never want to do something to sully your reputation. 5. See every act you do is one of great significance. Maimonides suggests that we regard ourselves as being equally balanced between good and evil, and the world itself as similarly balanced. Thus, a single good act will tip the balance toward good in our own life and in the world. Conversely, one bad deed will tip the balance toward evil. Criminologists know that when broken windows in a neighborhood remain unrepaired, crime, including violent crime in the area, increases. The shattered glass becomes a signal to potential offenders that this is a neighborhood where disorder is accepted and crime tolerated. Fixing broken windows can thereby tip the balance of the neighborhood toward more civil behavior, and ignoring such a seemingly minor detail might pave a path toward moral deterioration. And I am adding, this also applies to graffiti if it's not repaired, covered over. 6. If you offer personal prayers to Hashem for your own well-being and success, pray for others before you pray for yourself. Offering such prayers helps us develop greater empathy for others. Often when we hear of someone else's hardship, we feel a momentary sense of sympathy and concern, but soon forget about it. But if each morning we spend a few minutes praying for others, their hardships and needs will remain fresh in our consciousness. In so doing, we may help them, such as the case of a man who prayed daily for his unemployed friend and was thus prompted to make a considerable effort to help him find work. And eventually, his effort paid off. 7.
Has joined.
Cultivate and develop your moral strengths. Commenting on the verse, follow the path of your heart. The 19th century rabbinic scholar Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, known as the Netziv, taught that each of us must find our own way of serving Hashem. One person may carry out his divine service and fulfill his life's mission primarily through Torah study, another through prayer, and a third by means of charity and acts of loving kindness. Clearly, these are not mutually exclusive, but represent a person's primary focus. It is incumbent on each of us to discover the path for which we have a natural affinity and cultivate it. For example, you have the ability to listen to people, to console them, to help them make decisions. You might choose to perform this mitzvah for others. Conversely, if you have a nervous or morose disposition, it would be wise not to choose bikur cholim, visiting the sick, as your particular mitzvah. Ask yourself what you can do best in the service of others. If, for example, you enjoy cooking, contribute a home-cooked meal to a homeless, homebound person. 8. Keep a daily character journal, focusing exclusively on the area in which you wish to improve yourself. If we are honest and comprehensive in what we record, we will soon note patterns in the events that can provide insights into our inappropriate behaviors. For example, if we are prone to lashon hara, we might realize that we are most apt to pass on personal information during lunchtime at work or dinner time at home. By acquiring such awareness in advance, we can take steps to avoid such behavior in the future. Keeping a journal will help us to lead the kind of life we want, instead of allowing ourselves to be controlled by emotions and impulses. 9. When trying to correct a bad trait, temporarily embrace the opposite extreme. As a medieval commentator on Maimonides explains, to strengthen a bent bamboo cane, we must bend it in the opposite direction until it bounces back to the middle. If we bend it back only to the middle, it will remain permanently misshapen. Although going to extremes is usually counterproductive, Sometimes we need to do so for the short term to achieve balance. For example, if you have a tendency to gossip about other people's faults, for the next week, do not allow yourself to say anything bad about anyone, even if it is well-intentioned. If you tend towards stinginess, over the next few months, donate one or two of your best garments to an organization that helps the poor. 10. Avoid even sins that seem minor, because as a rabbinic maxim teaches, one sin will lead to another. The Bible teaches that King Ahab violated the 10th mitzvah, the 10th commandment, by coveting the vineyard of a man named Naboth, which adjoined his winter palace. He offered to buy the land, but Naboth refused, and Ahab returned home depressed. When his wife, Queen Jezebel, learned of this upset, she arranged for two witnesses to offer perjured testimony that Naboth had cursed both God and king, a capital crime for which Naboth was executed and his estate confiscated. Jezebel then rushed to her husband with the happy news. Come take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, for Naboth is no longer alive. He is dead. What began with Ahab's violation of the 10th commandment against coveting quickly led to violations of the 9th commandment against bearing false witness, the 6th commandment against murder, and the English commandment against stealing. And I am adding an unwritten commentary. One must realize that it was Ahab becoming the cause of all of these other violations. The 11th. When confronted with a situation that leaves you uncertain as to whether you are taking the right action, ask yourself one question. What is motivating me to act in this way? My Yetzer Tov, the good inclination, or my Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination? Just answering this question will usually determine the appropriate course of action. 12. Look at your life from the future. As moral educator Michael Josephson teaches, if you want to know how to live your life, think about what you would like people to say about you after you die. Then live backwards. All of us can strive to leave a legacy of goodness. As the rabbis taught, righteous people are even greater after their deaths than in their lives. Those who leave a legacy of goodness affect not only their own generation, but succeeding generations. Rabbi Telushkin was raised on the story of his maternal grandfather, Abraham Resnick, who acquired an apartment building during the 1920s. When the stock market crashed in 1929, he lost his savings. Many of his apartments became vacant, and the remaining tenants could pay rent only sporadically. One time, my mother went with my grandfather to collect rents. Inside one apartment, a man was seated with his wife and children. Mr. Resnick, he said to my grandfather, we haven't eaten in 2 days. My grandfather handed my mother several dollars, a large sum of money for them during those difficult times, and told her to go out and buy groceries. My mother returned with bags filled with food, which they gave to the family. This incident occurred more than 70 years ago. Yet this story continues to impact me. It is now known to my children, who heard it from my mother, and who, God willing, will continue to be influenced by their great-grandfather's kindness, even 100 years after it happened. 13. Emulate Hashem. Hashem represents the ultimate biblical model for character building. Deuteronomy 13:5 commands that you should walk after God. The Talmud asks, how is it possible for a person to walk after Hashem? This is what the verse means. You should follow the attributes of the Holy One, blessed be He. For example, the Talmud says, just as God clothed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, should we clothe those who lack adequate clothing? Just as Hashem visited Abraham when he was weak, so should we visit the sick. Just as Hashem buried Moses, so should we help arrange for the burial of the dead. Over 3,000 years ago, Hashem said to Abraham, the first Jew, and you shall be a blessing in the lives of those with whom you come in contact. If we take to heart these age-old Jewish teachings, we too, like Abraham, will become a blessing in the lives of all those with whom we come in contact, and in our own lives as well. Contemplate. In the next few days, the readings will be short. Please contemplate each of these 13 discussions as to which are meant for you to include in your actions of Teshuvah. Where have you absorbed some of these wrong traits? And what good traits are you already doing? Be careful if you do this in a state of truthfulness and not trying to feel better about yourself. Ma meditation. Yud, Yud, hey, Yud, hey, Wav, Yud, hey, Wav, hey, Yud, Yud, hey, Yud, hey, Wav, Yud, hey, Wav, hey, Yud, Yud, hey, Yud, hey, Wav, Yud, hey, Wav, hey, Yud, Yud, hey. Yud hey wav, Yud hey wav hey Yud, Yud hey, Yud hey wav, Yud hey wav hey. If you'll notice the time, we're running rather late. So what is the purpose of the month of Elul? The purpose of Elul is to decide to do Teshuvah. So today's class, which is about Teshuvah, is not late at all. You'll find the handout for today on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. It's in row 8. It's the second column from the left. It opens up to a landing page of a lot of classes on Teshuvah. We're going to start with class 1. And you'll notice that it's broken into two parts. We will not finish even part one today. So my thinking is that the 6 o'clock class or the 3 o'clock class, instead of being advanced reincarnation, will be continuing the teaching on Teshuvah. We will start with L'shem Yehud. But first we will say the Shema. Please close your eyes, lean slightly to the left, as we say together in unity, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And for our L'shem Yehud, L'shem Yehud Kuchabri Kumishkinte, Bipilu Urchino, Udhilu Urchino, Leachta L'shem Yudhe Bavate, the Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La Sok Torah Mitzvah, Vayehino Amadunai Eloheinu Alena Maasei Yadenu Kananei Alena Maasei Yadenu Kananehu. Teshuvah, class one. Ziman Teshuvah. This is a period of Teshuvah. Why is there special periods for Teshuvah? You can do Teshuvah any minute, any hour of the day, of every day. Yet we have special periods for Teshuvah. We have the month of Elul, and we have the days of awe between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We have the period of the Shavuot. We have the period of the Omer. We have many periods of Teshuvah. Zman Teshuvah translates as a period of time, but it also is the opportunity to do Teshuvah. And what is the first step in connecting to an opportunity? It's a decision in your thoughts to connect to the opportunity. You have to decide to do Teshuvah. Without that thought, without that change of thinking, Teshuvah never happens. Teshuvah is usually translated as repentance. This is a very big corruption. It is meant to translate as return the lower hay to the Vav, to the Yud-Heh Vav. Return to Hashem is the meaning of Teshuvah. We will discuss this more below, and we will discuss this in other classes during Elul, during this Ziman, this opportunity. We need to know one thing that the Kabbalah teaches in order to start on the path of Teshuvah. The one thing is that the Midrash teaches there were seven things created prior to creation. One of these is Teshuvah. This means that man was expected to sin. He was expected to make mistakes. In the religious language, it's a sin. The question is, why did Hashem expect man to make mistakes? Why do you expect and rationalize your mistakes as being human? why don't you strive to be divine and not make mistakes? What is your goal? You need to repent. You need to grasp the opportunity to return to Hashem. But when you return to Hashem, remember the adage. A righteous person who never sins cannot rise as high as the sinner who's done teshuvah. One of the answers to why man makes mistakes is that there is only one way to learn. We learn from our mistakes. If you don't make a mistake, you don't learn. Wait a second. Don't we learn also from books and teachers, etc.? Don't we learn what is the right thing to do from these other ways of learning? The answer comes from the Pirkei Avot, who lists the 48 ways to acquire Torah. It doesn't say learn Torah, it says acquire Torah. But to assimilate Torah into your soul, learning from books and teachers is a lower level than making a mistake and acquiring the memory to not do that mistake again. Those of you who listened to our class last night, covering Ki Tisa, Ki Tetze, the Zohar on Ki Tetze, section 16, we had a very effective teaching moment. It wasn't a teaching moment. It was an experience of process. Of Teshuvah. I recommend you all listen to that class. You can find it on the recordings link, which is available on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 19, and the third column from the left. And then scroll down till you find Zohar Ki Tetze, section 16. Or you can do a search, which is very effective, in your browser. Another reason that Teshuvah was created prior to the creation of the world has to do with the cause and effect involved with reincarnation. The Baal Shem Tov teaches that the reason someone develops a hatred for another is because they have the soul spark of that person captured within their own negativity. That is the reason a mistake is made with respect to another person. And then Teshuvah allows the release of that soul spark. This was the relationship between the Baal Shem Tov and the Gaon de Vilna that caused the Gaon to excommunicate the Baal Shem Tov for a short period of time. This teaching comes through the book You Are Who You Hate by Sarah Yehudit Schneider, and we have a series of classes based on that book that I highly recommend everyone revisit. Ziman Shuvah. This is the period of time, the opportunity to return to Hashem. What period of time am I referring to? The 10 weeks from Shabbat Nachamu until Shabbat Bereshit. Actually, most of these 10 weeks are included in the months of Elul and Tishrei. Why are these 2 months that opportunity to return to Hashem? Another period of time is the period of Shogavim. And this is the 6 weeks, sometimes the 8 weeks, where the parashiyot of Shemot, Vayera, Bo, Bishalach, Yitro, Mishpatim are read in the synagogue. Shogavim is an acronym for these six parashiyot. In leap years, there is an additional 2 weeks, which includes the parashiyot of Truma and Tetzaveh. Shogavim is a Hebrew word that means a mischievous child. It is a period that deals with teshuvah from the ideas of sexual impropriety and creative errors. The Sefirah of Yesod is being corrected during this period. Teshuvah on the Brit is during that period. It's best in that period. But it can be done any day, any hour, any minute, and even any second. There are other periods that correct other sephirot that we have damaged through our mistakes. In effect, any day is a good day for teshuvah. And let us continue discussing the well-known period of the month of Elul. One physical reason is that Elul is the sixth month of the Hebrew calendar, and Tishrei is the seventh month. The seventh month is Malchut in the frame of the Sephirot, while Elul is Yesod. Yesod and Malchut are meant to be in continuous zivug, continuous intercourse with each other. They are not in continuous zivug due to man's mistakes and sins. Yet man's mistakes are an illusion, so they are always in continuous zivug. And that is why I will be teaching these 2 months as one ziman, one period. The meaning of teshuvah, the meaning of returning the hay. Please read a quick discussion by Rabbi Yaakov Friedman on the meaning of teshuvah. And this will help us help set the intellectual and practical tone for the beginning of the spiritual work. In a later class, we will bring you practical examples of how to do this work. On the handout, you'll have the links. But we don't have the time to start the link, and I don't want to wait until we do. So we're going to read this link in our 3 o'clock class today. Now let's see, I'm continuing to read so we utilize the remaining few minutes we have before our hour is up. Now let's see a more Torah literal understanding of teshuvah. Please read a quick discussion by Rabbi Ginsburg on the meaning of teshuvah. And this will help set the tone for the beginning of the spiritual work. In a later class, we will bring you practical examples of how to do the work. Now let's take a close look at this Haftorah and how it tells what and how to achieve teshuvah. The scroll, the Haftorah that we read on Shabbat Teshuvah, has an opening indicating a paragraph that starts a verse and finishes at verse 10. There are 3 additional verses added to the Haftorah, which we do not need to review here. The Haftorah on Shabbat Teshuvah is Hosea chapter 14, verses 2 to 10. Return, O Israel, unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast stumbled in thine iniquity. The first word is return. which indicates to us the procedure. Teshuvah begins here with the confession of our stumble or mistake. Verse 3, take ye with you words and return unto Hashem. Say unto him, forgive all iniquity and accept that which is good. So till we render for bullocks the offerings of our lips. My commentary. Speak words is the road to return to Hashem. Our lips will deliver our sacrifice, and Hashem will know that our remorse is good. Verse 4. Ashur shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we call any more the work of our hands our gods. For in thee the fatherless finds mercy. My commentary. Horses is a code word for the physical. Ashur is a code word for mental and logic. Our mistake cannot be corrected by logic or physical actions. We must connect to our Father, who is Hashem. Verse 5. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. My commentary. Once we start the words, Hashem will help complete the healing of the world that is needed due to our mistakes. Backsliding is referring to the concept of going back to the future. What is that concept? Remember the movie. You go back in time, you change the action that you did in that back in time, so that when you return to the now, that action never happened. And therefore, the chaos never happened. It never found you. Verse 6. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall blossom as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. Dew is a code word for the coming of Mashiach. The lily is a reference to Israel, the 13th petal rose. After Mashiach and Lebanon is indicating our emotions will be corrected. Verse 7. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his fragrance as Lebanon. And this verse reverses to the process of peace evolving from the teshuvah of the nation of Israel. Verse 8, they that dwell under his shadow shall again make corn to grow, and shall blossom as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. This verse is explaining about the relationships between the human species and their souls, along with the other species created by Hashem. Verse 9. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? As for me, I respond and look on him. I am like a leafy cypress tree. From me is thy fruit found. This verse is referring to the return of the 10 lost tribes and their return to Hashem after Israel does its teshuvah. As an unwritten commentary, we need to remember that the nation of Ephraim, the northern kingdom, built two golden calves so that the people would not travel to Jerusalem. They would go to these other locations, and they would make their sacrifices to the golden calves. How could the king build a golden calf? The question I've always asked, continue to ask, because I have no answer. Except to remember that it wasn't the king who built those calves. It was us. It was me. I build those calves every day. I strive to break that mold, break that pattern, and return to Hashem. But as long as I'm worshiping an idol, and we all do, very difficult to return fully to Hashem. Verse 10. Whoso is wise, let him understand these things. Whoso is prudent, let him know them. For the ways of Hashem are right, and the just do walk in them. But transgressors do stumble therein. My commentary. This verse refers to the restoration of the tree of life and putting all of the Sephirot into their correct relationship to each other. And this is where we will stop, as our time is up. I hope you found the earlier discussions by Rabbi Talushin and the meditations that we are conducting and continuing to learn from. I hope you find them helpful. We will have a class at 3 o'clock West Coast time where we will continue our study of Teshuvah. And tomorrow we should have 3 classes, but I have a stress test that I need to attend, but the time is during the time of our Slichot, so I will not be having Slichot on Monday or Tuesday due to the stress test. We will have a class at 11 a.m., which will be our basic class on Monday. We will then have at 4:30 our Deep Zohar class, and at 7 o'clock in the evening, West Coast time, we will have our class on the Ari's essays. With respect to Tuesday, we have a similar situation. There will be no Slichot class. I apologize. But that does not mean that both Monday and Tuesday, you cannot do Slichot yourself. It is important that you do so. If you can't read the Hebrew, scan the Hebrew. If you need to read it in English, read it in English. Choose to do teshuvah. Choose to return the hey to the vav. Does anyone have any questions? Shalom Gadol, Shavua Tov, have a beautiful week. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.